Happy greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Africa will be represented by 5 teams at next year's World Cup football tournament in Russia. They are Egypt, Morocco, Tunisia, Senegal, and Nigeria. For an update on Nigeria's World Cup preparations, let's go to Abuja, where our Daybreak Africa sportsman, Samson Omale, is standing by. Sporty greetings, Samson.
Sporty greetings to you, Sonny, from Abuja.
Great to have you back on the sunny side of sports, Samson. Before we look ahead to that December 1st draw in Moscow, how about if we look back a bit? How important was last week's 4-2 friendly victory by the Super Eagles over Argentina?
Okay, Sonny, you do know that Argentina, by the current FIFA ranking, occupies the fourth position behind Germany, Brazil, and Portugal in that order. So for Nigeria, ranked 41 in the world to beat a team that has the likes of world stars like Javier Mascherano, Nicolas Otamendi, Sergio Aguero, Angel Di Maria, Paulo Dybala, by as many as 4 goals in a few months to the World Cup is a huge confidence booster for the Super Eagles. A lot of people are talking about that. And let me add very quickly, Sonny, that in the past 7 encounters with Argentina, Nigeria had lost all 4 of their main teams at the FIFA World Cup and winning just 1 game, which was in a friendly. So winning this international friendly that was played in Russia was something that a lot of people have been talking about. And for the Super Eagles, they are also treading very cautiously. The Super Eagles coach has said, look, you guys need to take it easy. Yes, we've defeated Argentina, but it's not all said and done yet. But again, I must quickly add that beating Argentina will give the Super Eagles some impetus in terms of their confidence going into Russia 2018 World Cup.
Samson, the Super Eagles were the first African team to book their ticket to Russia 2018. Who, in your opinion, have been the key players for the Super Eagles in their successful World Cup qualifying campaign?
Definitely the first on the list for me will be Chelsea wingback Victor Moses. He was outstanding in the qualifying series. His versatility, his ability to read the game, create the chances, and of course, cap it off with scoring goals for every of the matches he featured in, made him a standout player in the qualifying series. I must also not forget Alex Iwobi, the Arsenal prolific striker, and you do know he's Gigi Okocha's cousin. His 73rd-minute goal in Uyo was that goal that gave Nigeria a berth to the World Cup. So you have the likes of Chelsea wing-back, as I said, Victor Moses. You also have Alex Iwobi. And we'll not forget the defenders who Nigerians have come to describe as the Oyinbo pair. Now, Oyinbo in Nigerian palace means somebody who has a white skin or has a white, he has some bit of connection. Their parents are not Nigerian and all of that. I'm talking about Williams Trost Ekong and, of course, Leon Balogo. They've done marvelously well, and that's why you look at the number of goals Nigerian conceded is not as much in the qualifying series. So, of course, we can't also forget the captain of the side, John Obi Mikel. He's a playmaker of the team. His presence, as a matter of fact, from a lot of the players have said, is giving them that boost to urge you to, you know, he urges them on, and his presence alone gives them that air of, look, we can do it. And you look at those players, for me, I'll say these players are the ones that stood out for me in the qualifying series for the World Cup.
Samson, what about Gernot Rohr, the German tactician and head coach of the Super Eagles? How much credit do you give him for Nigeria making it to Russia?
Despite the criticism he has faced in some quarters, the name Gernot Rohr cannot be forgotten in Nigeria's football history. Nigeria was grouped alongside Cameroon, Zambia, and Algeria in the group stage. Many wrote of Nigeria's chances of making it to Russia owing to the pedigree of the opposition. But here comes the man, Garrett Rowe, whose appointment was also dubbed with a whole lot of criticism. They didn't know what he was going to bring to the team, the kind of addition that would spur the Super Eagles on. But thanks to him and his technical prowess, he took Nigeria to their sixth FIFA World Cup. And he did that in an amazing fashion. In six matches that he had to preside over, they were unbeaten with 4 wins and 2 draws, scoring 12 goals in the process and conceding just 4 times. Now, that would be an incredible feat for any coach to achieve. And you also have the background of the Super Eagles missing out on the African Cup of Nations back-to-back, you know, on 2 occasions, and you have this man coming in. So I think Garrett Rowe will take a lot of the credit because he's been able to bring some air of freshness and tactical tech into the team ahead of the World Cup.
Samson, lots of excitement ahead of the World Cup draw, which will be held December 1st at the Kremlin State Palace in Moscow. And I know there are lots of prognosticators out there, Samson, taking a look at the possible groups. Are there any teams that you would like to see Nigeria avoid in their first round grouping?
Absolutely, Sonny. Now, Nigeria, by virtue of being ranked 41st in the world, will be in pot 4, as released by FIFA a few weeks ago. That will be alongside Serbia, Australia, Japan, Morocco, Panama, Korea Republic, and Saudi Arabia when the draws are made, as you rightly said, on the 1st of December. Now, for being in this spot, they may not face any of this group, but there are possibilities that Nigeria could face Germany. And it's one team I wouldn't want Nigeria Super Eagles to face because I want them to as far in the competition. If they are put in the group stage together, it means it could spell some form of disaster for the Super Eagles. And that's because Germany is a championship team. They are the defending champions. And they are wired, if you ask me, in a default mode to excel at the World Cup tournament. Not just because Germany are the defending champions, but also because they are the most compact team in the world. Very organized and a well-knit group of professionals. Now, aside from Germany, another team I wouldn't want the Super Eagles to meet at the early stages of the World Cup will be Argentina. The Super Eagles coach is not also being carried away, judging by some of the statements he made after that 4-2 defeat that Argentina suffered in the hands of the Super Eagles. But Argentina is also one team that wouldn't want the Super Eagles to meet at the early stages. And another team is another South American side, Brazil. Of course, everybody knows Brazil. I mean, with the kind of vengeance they want to come into the World Cup with the way Nigerians has also had to deny them in other of the age group competitions. It's one thing that with the way they are playing right now, you look at some of their players in the English Premiership and even in the Spanish La Liga. When you're talking about the likes of Neymar, I mean, you're talking about Gabriel Jesus. I mean, these are players who every day can deliver. And facing Nigeria, it could still some very tough match fixture for me. And another team is France. Yes, they hardly anything in the world at the moment with the kind of depth that France possesses. It's a team that can afford to drop Karim Benzema with anyone hardly noticing, not to mention Samuel Nasri, who was long exiled from the team. Certainly, he has a lot to offer. So the Didier Deschamps side also is one side that can come to the table and are favorites ahead of the World Cup. So these are a few teams I think, Sonny, that the Super Eagles shouldn't meet before possibly the second round of the tournament.
Thanks, Samson. That's our Daybreak Africa sportsman, Samson Omale. And Samson was speaking with me from Abuja, Nigeria. And we'll hear more of Samson's World Cup insights during Tuesday's show. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Just ahead, updates on 2 Confederation of African Football tournaments, the Confederation Cup and the African Nations Championship. African club football news now on the VOA. Defending champion T.P. Mazembe of the Democratic Republic of Congo defeated Supersport United of South Africa Sunday 2-1 in the first leg of the CAF Confederation Cup final. Playing at home in Lubumbashi, Mazembe got off to a 1-0 lead in the 18th minute on a goal from Malian striker Adama Traore. Supersport equalized early in the second half on a goal by Sifo Mbule. In the 67th minute, the Ghanaian Daniel Adjeni scored the game-winning goal for Mazembe, which will now travel to Pretoria, South Africa, for the decisive second leg on November 25th. Supersport's head coach, Eric Tinkler, says his team wasn't at full strength in the first leg after losing a couple of players to injuries.
Love to have had at least a week prep with a full squad, but that's not the case, you know, and I can sit here and I can complain about it, and then it's going to be tomorrow, it's excuses, the coach is giving excuses. But that is the truth. We would have preferred to have had a week preparation.
Elsewhere, Morocco is preparing to host the 2018 African Nations Championship Football Tournament in January. For details about the draw for the 16-team tournament, we turn now to reporter Douglas Mpuga.
The draw for the 2018 African Nations Championship, CHAN, was made in Rabat with Nigeria grouped alongside Libya, the only former winners in the 16 teams taking part. The tournament, which is for African footballers based in their own domestic leagues, will be staged in Morocco between January 12th and February 4th next year. The Nigerians are making a third consecutive appearance in the biennial event and will also face Rwanda and Equatorial Guinea in their group. Nigeria finished third in 2014 in South Africa but failed to reach the knockout phase in Rwanda last year. Rwanda were the last qualifiers for Morocco 2018, winning a playoff against Ethiopia last weekend after Egypt withdrew because top clubs were not prepared to release players. Equatorial Guinea are debutants and qualified without kicking a ball after opponents Gabon withdrew from the regional qualifying competition. Namibia, Uganda and Zambia were placed in a group with Ivory Coast, who came third last year behind champions the Democratic Republic of Congo and runners-up Mali. Uganda will be desperate to at least reach the quarterfinals after three first-round exits in a row, while the best showing from Zambia was third at the first tournament in 2009. Namibia are the other debutants after shocking Zimbabwe in a qualifier despite fielding a rusty squad because of the lack of domestic football. Morocco, the second choice as hosts after Kenya fell behind with preparations, meet 2016 semi-finalists Guinea, Sudan and Mauritania. The other group is made up of 2011 runners-up Angola, Cameroon, Congo-Brazzaville and Burkina Faso. The winning nation will win $1.25 million, up from the $750,000 DR Congo received in Kigali last time out.
Thanks, Douglas. That's Douglas Mpuga. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Just ahead on the show, a South African fighter delivers what might be the knockout of the year for 2017. World Boxing Organization Bantamweight champion Zolani Tete needed only 11 seconds to knock out South African compatriot Sibanyiso Gonya over the weekend in Belfast, Northern Ireland. Britain's The Sun newspaper is describing it as the quickest ever world title fight. And our reigning prince of pugilistics, Namdi Hollywood Mwaita, says the 29-year-old Tete is now the front runner to get the Sunny Side of Sports Knockout of the Year award for 2017. Tete landed a brutal right hook just 6 seconds into the bout, the very first punch of the fight, and the referee officially called the fight over 5 seconds later. Gonya was motionless on his back for a few minutes and made it back to his feet with the help of an oxygen mask. WBO champ Zolane Tete improved his prize fighting record to 26 wins and 3 losses with 21 knockouts. He says he's hoping to set up a bantamweight world title unification fight against IBF and WBA champion Ryan Burnett of Northern Ireland in 2018. I watched video of Tete's quick victory in Belfast, and I have to agree with Namdi. This sure looks like it will be the Sunny Side of Sports knockout of the year for 2017. Kudos to the South African fighter, Zolane Tete. Turning to tennis, the Bulgarian Grigor Dimitrov has won the biggest title of his career at the season-ending ATP Finals in London. Dimitrov defeated David Goffin of Belgium in 3 sets. The final score from the O2 Arena in the British capital, 7-5, 4-6, and 6-3. At the post-match news conference, Dimitrov had this to say.
I know, it's a special event. I mean, you don't get the chance to play that every... I mean, sometimes you get the chance to play that every year, but sometimes you don't. And for me, the way that the year has been, I mean... I felt I deserved to be here, yes, but I didn't want it to imagine that far ahead, like, yeah, I'm going to be on the final or, like, win the whole thing. And it was just also the end of the year, the last match, knowing that I don't have to go to practice tomorrow would be a great feeling when I wake up in the morning.
When Grigor Dimitrov woke up this morning, he was ranked a career-high 3rd in the world, trailing only Roger Federer and top-ranked Rafael Nadal. Dimitrov says he thinks his London title will be a springboard to a successful 2018.
It's a great platform for me to build on for next year. It's gonna be amazing in the off season. I know what I have to do in order to do good. But again, you can control the controllables.
Meanwhile, Belgian player David Goffin will end 2017 at a career high number 7 in the ATP rankings.
Match after match, I took more confidence until the final, so I'm proud of what I've achieved, even if I'm disappointed about the final, but it was I gave everything. I have no regrets after the final, and it was a great week, so I think I'm a better player.
That's Belgian tennis player David Goffin, the runner-up at the season-ending ATP Finals in London. And he was speaking from the O2 Arena in the British capital. Joining us once again on the Sunny Side of Sports is Andrew Palcheski, the VOA's social media reporter. Sporty greetings, Andrew.
Sporty greetings, Sunny. Good to be here with you.
Welcome back, Andrew. What's trending on this Monday?
Well, you were just talking about tennis, and tennis is trending today with some sad news about two stars of the game that have passed away. And first is Czech tennis star Jana Novotná, who has died at the age of 49 after a battle with cancer. She was the 1998 women's champion in women's singles, winner of 16 Grand Slam doubles titles in both women's doubles and mixed doubles, and throughout the course of her career, Sonny, winning 100 total career titles, 24 in singles, and a whopping 76 titles in doubles. So
wow,
one of the
great double player.
One of the greats of the game, absolutely. Fans are remembering Novotná as one of their favorite players, one who has fought hard on the court and won big and fought hard in life as she battled cancer. Very much remembered for that 1998 Wimbledon win, made all the sweeter after 5 years earlier. She nearly won in 1993. She lost her nerve and the match after leading 4-1 in the third set. Steffi Graf came back, and the image of Novotná breaking down in tears on the shoulder of Catherine, Duchess of Kent, who was presenting the trophies that year. One of the most heartbreaking images in sports, and one that a lot of fans remembered, saying that she took that pain and she ran with it for the next 5 years to get back to the top and back to winning that Wimbledon title. So a lot of fans remembering that. Also, a lot of remembrances from the tournaments and the players that were such big parts of her career and life. The All England Lawn Tennis Club, which hosts the championships at Wimbledon, called Novotná a true champion in every sense of the word. Of course, she was the winner there in 1998, but even beyond that, calling her a champion. Pam Shriver, retired American tennis player who's now a tennis commentator, who's had success in both singles and doubles, writing that Yana Novotná was as kind as she was athletic, as smart as she was competitive. I can't believe she's gone this soon. Her smile lives forever young. And of course, the great Martina Navratilova, a close friend of Novotna's, writing on social media, "The tennis world is so sad about the passing of Yana Novotná. I am gutted and beyond words. Yana was a true friend and an amazing woman." Now, Navratilova and Novotná both played for what was then Czechoslovakia before Navratilova obtained her U.S. citizenship in 1981. But the two of them remained very close. They had that kindred kind of countrywoman link between the two of them. And one story I actually saw recounted on social media said that when Navratilova was going through her own cancer battle back in 2010, battling breast cancer, it was Novotná who would drive her to her cancer treatments. So the two of them very closely linked, and someone who really was beloved by the tennis world throughout, and someone who's really going to be missed.
Rest in peace, Yana Novotná. The tennis world also mourning another great player, I understand, Andrew.
Yes, that's the other sad news. Pancho Segura, the former world number one men's player, had a very successful career in the 1940s and 1950s. A member of the International Tennis Hall of Fame, called one of the greats of the game. He has died at the age of 96 from complications from Parkinson's disease. Someone who has staked his mark in a number of different ways in tennis as a player and as a coach, and in some kind of unusual ways, because back during that famous battle of the sexes between Bobby Riggs and Billie Jean King, Segura was on the side of Bobby Riggs. He was firmly in his camp. But interestingly enough, over the years, he became very good friends with Billie Jean King. And in fact, the great Billie Jean King was one of the first people to offer her condolences and pay tribute to Segura on her social media. She wrote, "The world has lost a true tennis pioneer. Pancho Segura was a champion player and one of the smartest coaches I've ever met. RIP, my friend." So kind of interesting that over time she became friends with him. He became friends with her, recognized the power of women's tennis, the power of tennis around the world across the board, and really ran with that as a great coach and, as Billie Jean said, pioneer of the game. And Pam Shriver, who we heard from talking about Yana Novotná, she also wrote on social media, "Pancho and Yana have formed a new unbeatable and friendly mixed doubles winning team in heaven. Play on, friends." So I thought that was a very nice sentiment to offer, saying that those two players are hopefully up there somewhere reunited and playing a really great mixed doubles team.
Pancho Segura also linked with American tennis star Jimmy Connors. I guess he taught him a few tips over the years.
Yeah, you know, he's left his mark over decades and decades, you know, 5 or 6 decades in tennis that he's left his mark, and so he will certainly be missed as well.
Well, we have about a minute left in the program, Andrew. Anything else trending?
Well, Sonny, the drama over the freed UCLA players continues because, of course, we talked about the saga that they were shoplifting in China. They were detained, then they were released. President Donald Trump said that he played a role in that and wanted them to thank him, which they did. Now, LeVar Ball, who is the outspoken father of one of those players, said that Trump really didn't do that much. He didn't help all that much. Now, that's prompted Donald Trump to tweet that the players should have been left in jail. He should have left them there. He said they're very ungrateful. It's setting up a bit of a back and forth between President Donald Trump and LeVar Ball, who one person notes are two of the biggest attention seekers in the United States. Two people who are not ones to shy away from the camera and the limelight. So a lot of questions about how these two men are going to interact back and forth, whether, as one person suggested, they can play one-on-one and the winner gets America. I don't think that's going to happen. They both made some quite outlandish claims about their physical prowess and what they can do in the sports world. I don't think we're going to see them on the court anytime soon, but the war of words continues even after these players have come back to the United States. And Sonny, I'm willing to bet anything this is not the end of it.
I sort of agree with you there, Andrew. Andrew Palcheski, the VOA social media reporter. And that wraps up the November 20th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Dan Crafton. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
The United States is working with the Democratic Republic of Congo and Republic of the Congo to better combat the outbreak of deadly disease. In October, the U.S. Embassy in Kinshasa hosted a two-day tech camp, the Congo's Ground Zero for the Prevention of the Next Global Health Crisis. The tech camp gathered 50 provisional health officials and communication experts from Congo Kinshasa and Congo Brazzaville to explore ways modern technology can inform and equip communities to prevent and stop outbreaks of Ebola, yellow fever, cholera, and other dangerous diseases. Experts from the NGO community provided participants with practical uses of SMS, voice recognition, radio, and visual media technologies in mitigating the health crises. Participants shared best practices in previous health crises and methods for efficiently deploying technology to fight future outbreaks. Tech camp participants returned home with actionable ideas to improve health communication between provincial governments and the communities. Through U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, the CDC, and the United States Agency for International Development, USAID, the United States government provided more than $200 million in 2017 in humanitarian aid, including health services, to the Democratic Republic of the Congo. USAID and CDC provide health-related support to underserved rural and urban communities throughout both Congo-Kinshasa and Congo-Brazzaville. Tech camps are a U.S. Department of State program that links civil society groups with technology experts and tools to apply tech solutions to real-world issues. Representatives from more than 3,000 organizations globally have taken part in a tech camp since the program's inception in 2010. Elon Moss, Senior Communications Manager for New York-based NGO Drugs for Neglected Diseases Initiative, facilitated the Congo's Ground Zero for the Prevention of the Next Global Health Crisis. I believe wholeheartedly in the potential for innovation and technology to solve the world's most obstinate challenges, said Jennifer Haskell, chargé d'affaires at the U.S. Embassy in Kinshasa. I also am aware that what works in one country may not work in another. Therefore, our tech camp is focused on results, with participants identifying their own real-world challenges and offering practical technologies to help solve them.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Hello, Africa. This is James Brotte, host of Daybreak Africa, inviting you to join me every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC as we bring you the latest in African news, features, and sports. You can also be a part of Daybreak Africa through our listener mail segment by sending your comments and opinions to daybreakafrica@voanews.com. You can also call us and leave us a voicemail at 202-205-9942. That's 202-205-9942. And when you hear the Voice of America identification, press the number 25 to leave us your message. Start your day with Daybreak Africa every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC on the Voice of America.
Voice of America's news, talk, and music programs are now at the tip of your fingers. Find everything at www.voaafrica.com. Listen to VOA's program lineup live, anytime, day or night. Pick out your favorite shows and listen anytime you want. Download our podcasts. Check VOA Mobile from your cell phone. Subscribe to VOA Newsfeed. voanews.com.
Hi, this is Lori London. Tune in to the Voice of America's newscasts. Every hour, on the top of each hour, 24/7. Listen to our news and correspondent reports from around the world. VOA is your trusted source for news and information.